New Brunswick resident and Canadian veteran David Wiseman was an infantry soldier with the Royal Canadian Regiment deployed to Kandahar in Afghanistan in 2010. His debut book, set to be published on Remembrance Day, is a memoir that traces his journey from a difficult childhood through traumatic experiences in Afghanistan to his life and healing beyond the military. Wiseman spoke with Local 107.3 FM about his book, From the Sands of Kandahar, and his experiences before, during and after the military, as well as the long-term effects of mefloquine, the anti-malarial drug he was given before deployment and throughout his time in Afghanistan.
I was told by a therapist I should start writing. I started to journal, and it would be 3 a.m. I'd wake up in a mefloquine attack, and I'd sit with myself at the kitchen table in the sunroom I had when everything was super quiet, there was no worldly distractions. And it just started, and it became a routine for, during COVID for sure, because we were so isolated, right? I had nothing else to do for the most part, and then go sit with it and see what came out. And I would end up writing 10 or 15 pages all at once. Next thing you know, I was writing beautiful things. It just happened to come. So my intentions were just to write it down and then go to session, and then it became a book. It just started to flow so fast from memories from first with the war, because they were so fresh. And then in the last year or two, the childhood memories started to come out.
And it certainly comes across as very kind of honest and uncompromising. I mean, was it important to face kind of everything kind of head on?
Yeah, totally. Everybody, not everybody, but certain people in my life had told me that what I was remembering was inaccurate. So I had to go into the fire and see if they were right at first. And as I started to verify everything, it had to be authentic. It couldn't be manipulated in any way. It had to come off as I felt it. And that's how I wrote it. As I would have the memories, I would sit down and write with the memories so that it was as if I was still there at the moment.
And I suppose, I mean, kind of look at it in two ways. You're writing for yourself in terms of trying to... do you want to...
I wasn't writing for myself, actually, at first. I was writing for my children. That generation, they're 14 and 17, that generation doesn't know much about what soldiers do. They just see the aftermath of what our service did to us. And they could never understand why Dad was the way he was. First, it was for that, to give myself a voice without being too firm. And then it became about how so many military children are not heard. I was a child of a military family. I never realized how much that influenced my life. It first was for my children, and then it became for all of us. And the veterans that have lost their journey to our demons.
You are writing to an audience as well, so I kind of wonder how important, again, that honesty and that directness, how important was that to get
100%? It had to be honest. I couldn't sugarcoat it, because soldiers were taught to sugarcoat a lot of things so that it doesn't seem as bad as it was. And that's how I sold myself going to the war. And this I couldn't sugarcoat. It wasn't in my DNA to sugarcoat this at all.
I wanted to ask about how difficult it was kind of reliving the experience.
We're still at the final stages of editing, and I just did some this weekend, and I cried for the whole weekend. So it still affects me deeply, especially when new things come up, because we're never fully healed. It's always going to be something, and it was about learning how to deal with the energy of those memories. How it helped was that I was being told a lot of the stuff I lived wasn't true, from my childhood through the war, coming home, having to suppress all of that, and then finding out I was poisoned. It totally helped. I cried, I laughed, I healed with it as I wrote it, and I felt the spirit of my brothers and sisters that have not made it pushing me up to write it for them as well, because during COVID we lost so many veterans due to suicide. It was a lot of them pushing me up to do it.
And kind of, yeah, I did want to touch on that, how important it was to get the kind of medical confirmation that it was the
mefloquine.
It was very important because I knew right away. I knew back in 2010 that's what it was. I wasn't feeling well before I went. And within a month of taking the first mefloquine, I was sick. I felt crazy for 15 years. And even in doing the mental health treatment, I still felt like there was something missing, the core part of me that was broken. So the confirmation just put my soul at ease. It changed me right away. I was a soft, kind person until I took mefloquine, and then I became what I became for 15 years until my soul got the validation.
Through all these experiences, I mean, where do you find hope?
I don't know. It was just there. As I mentioned in the book, in the middle of the ambush in Afghanistan, God came to me. It was always a nudge in some sort of direction. I guess that was the hope that I subconsciously always had. No matter how bad it got, something was pushing me forward.
I'm wondering about how you feel writing will live with you from now on. I mean, are you wanting to write other things?
I do, actually. After not even finishing this one, I wanted to come up with a recipe book for brain injury-specific people, because with the injury we have, we cannot eat certain things. It has to be a lot of protein. So us veterans need a little kick in the butt sometimes to get motivated. So I'm hoping with what I've shown to some, I can motivate them with their better eating and getting them out of that part of our injury. It took me until 2017 to realize how big the diet was. I was eating a lot of processed sugar, coffee I can't touch. So for us, it's very important.
Kind of also want to go back to the book itself and ask you, what do you hope people will get from it? Obviously, as I say, you're kind of writing to very different audiences here. Maybe people who have had similar experiences to you, but also people who have, you know, maybe no real experience like that at all. What are you kind of hoping that the different people will get from it and see in it?
That as a human, we all struggle in some sort of a way. And when the chips are down, we most like to quit. I'd like to share that we can persevere through just about anything if we put our mind to it. I also want to hit the male audience, because a lot of men don't say anything if they're getting domestically abused. And most of the relationships I've been in have been very big and intimate partner violence. And our society tells us to shut it down, don't talk about it. So I want to put a voice out to men that are getting abused, that it happens. It doesn't make us any less of a man, and that we can move on from it. As Veterans Day, Remembrance Day approaches, if you even see a younger man, younger female, that wouldn't look like the typical veteran, to give them their time, because they've suffered and they continue to suffer as we fight for the rights of ourselves and our families, for benefits and recognition. We tend to get looped into just being either very angry, and that anger is really sadness because of everything we've been through. Give them their time. They just want to be heard. We've had to keep our mouths quiet for so long. Our stories get forgotten as time goes on, and most veterans don't like to talk about it, but if you were to ask kindly, they would certainly share. And the reasons we do what we do is to defend the general public without really even thinking about what it would do to us.
David Wiseman's book, From the Sands of Kandahar, will be released on Remembrance Day, November the 11th, and will be available on Amazon and IngramSpark. If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact Local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Coe for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.